from the many realms of Azeroth to the great dark beyond via the magic of podcasting, this is episode 75 of The Rolling Restart, a World of Warcraft podcast for you and me. Who am I? I'm Brian Black, otherwise known as Ro. And friends, I believe it was Shakespeare who wrote in Macbeth that life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Speaking of sound and fury, my guest co-hosts this week have plenty to say that I'm sure will be more than signifying nothing. The summons has gone out, and for the second time this year, I welcome the hosts of the Unshackled Fury podcast, Berserker and Navex. Dex, thanks for being here, guys.
Well, thank you, and glad to bring our idiocy up on the stage.
Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, if anyone is the idiot in that quote, it's probably me.
I spent 6 hours in AV yesterday. I think I qualify for that.
You have me beat. Oh, guys, so can either of you believe that it has been, like, what, 10 days since BlizzCon 2019? It feels like it was just yesterday to me.
Yeah, it's like drinking from a fire hose anytime BlizzCon comes around, because there's just information overload, and I know for me it takes several days, if not longer, to sort of compartmentalize and break down and metabolize all the information that comes through, because holy crap. It's just a lot, and not just for us in Warcraft, but for everybody and all the other shenanigans going on. So yeah, it feels like it was a month ago.
Yeah.
I'm still watching panels. I'm going back and rewatching panels because I'm getting a little bit more every single time. Like, I try to watch them live, but The app was kind of, I don't know. I was going off of the app on my phone, and I was like, okay, I thought I was tuning in for one thing, but I'm watching something else, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here with this? And I missed half of one, so I had to go back and watch the other one. But yeah.
Yeah, the UI on that app isn't the most friendly. Definitely use some retooling and some reworking, but I feel you there. There are still a few panels that I have not yet watched. I mean, one of the awesome things about having the virtual ticket is we've got this stuff until, I think, January or February, maybe March of next year.
I think it's right up to Easter. I think they have it right up to Easter next year.
I don't know, because I'm still pulling up videos from last year.
Oh, well, wow. The way that they've been doing this, you can look, as long as you have virtual ticket access, You'll be able to look at 2018 and 2017. But like, the virtual ticket access closes for a while, like from Easter until a month before BlizzCon starts.
Okay. Yeah.
But one thing I have to ask is, before we dive deep into Warcraft, for each of you, what was your, like, personal highlight of BlizzCon 2019, even if it's not WoW related? Berserker, what about you?
I think the highlight was the voice panel that was done first thing, I think, Saturday morning, and they did a live read of some of the cinematics, and Andrea Troyes is just a joy to behold, and she's all kinds of just energy exploding everywhere, and I really enjoyed the fact that she went over time and was harassing people to keep playing clips, and she's getting into the vibe with all of the voice artists and everybody else, and it was a lot of fun to watch that panel and then to see all of the voice actors sort of imagine what happened there in person live. And you know, you don't get to see that very often, and that was awesome. Plus the insane video that they showed of Chris Metzen kind of going through that cinematic process and getting all crazy and angry. And then you've got Sarfeng's voice actor there. And forgive me, I can't remember his name. And he's going crazy, and they're getting in each other's faces, and they're going through this whole thing. And we've never seen that before. And that was just mind blowing. And I enjoyed the hell out of that.
he took off his armor. He did that.
Hey, is he a troll? Yeah.
You know what? I'd have to say that hands down, that was probably my favorite panel of all of BlizzCon. Like, to me, even more so than just the informational stuff about what we were getting. I mean, obviously, I want to hear what we're getting in Shadowlands and all that. But that voice actor was just freaking amazing. Sarfang's voice actor, just the energy that he had during the live reenactments was beyond. And who'd have thought, even now, I heard it without the effect and with the effect, but either way, Taron Gregory filling in for Metzen on Thrall was nuts.
Yeah, props to the man there. He pulled it off nicely.
Oh, yeah. That was something else. I did not expect that at all. If you do have access to the virtual ticket, I think my friends here would agree with me. You need to check out that panel.
Oh my God,
it's timeless. You will be happy that you checked it out.
She's going to have a hard time beating that one in the future. Andrew, that was pretty good.
Andrew Morgado was the gentleman's name.
That's his name. FYI. Yeah, it's a shame that we're not going to hear too much more of him as in that role, unless
you
never know.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
maybe we'll see him in the Shadowlands.
I think we're going to get to that, but yeah, for sure.
I love that we're actually saying Shadowlands as it's not actually a joke now. Like we
right?
Come on, Nav, do it one more time for the people.
Shadowlands. Well, it's the craziest thing because remember for years and years, I mean, for people who've been playing and following World of Warcraft for years, like there was this running joke that like, oh, the Emerald Dream expansion's coming. Emerald Dream ended up being a content patch. Yep. But the Emerald Dream's opposite, the Shadowlands, it's one of those things where when it first came up and there were rumors about it, people were like, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. And then it's actually going to be a thing. The Shadowlands, we are actually going to go to the multiple afterlives for World of Warcraft, which is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty wild. But Nav, sorry if I cut you off there, but what was your favorite panel there?
Oh, I will say the voice actor was right up there. It was high up on my list. I think the other panel that I really, really enjoyed was the Designers at Work panel with James Chadwick and Gary Plattner. And we got to watch Kyle Aronson, Victor Cortis, and Christy Moret design with their in-house software called Wow Edit. So it was neat to see behind the curtain a little bit to see how the worlds we're exploring were created, because I'm fascinated by the back end tech of World of Warcraft. Like I would have loved to have seen a sit down with the software engineers and the server engineers and been like, okay, so this is how the game works. This is how we're doing it. This is how it's spread out. I know there's some trade secrets they don't want to give away with and the magic that happens behind the scenes, but being a server guy and a sysadmin myself, it fascinates me. So the whole getting to see them design, they were working on Nyalotha at the time, and it was, I think it was Nyalotha they were working on, and it was real interesting to watch them do that. So yeah.
Nerds.
Nerds. Nerds.
It sounds to me that if you had a choice in anything, like as far as a, like a dev interview or something like that for BlizzCon, you would want to speak to like what one of the lead engineers. I had a chance to speak with Patrick Magruder, who I'm pretty sure is still on the team, but that would be your kind of thing. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. That's actually one panel that I have not checked out yet. I will have to check that out.
It's pretty cool
for sure. It was the voice panel for me also. Yeah. obviously I just absolutely loved it. It was the best one of the show. Mm-hmm. I would say that besides that, I was also very intrigued in all the Hearthstone stuff because this Battlegrounds thing has just captured my soul for the last week and a half. I have been playing practically nothing but Battlegrounds. I've had to literally pull myself away from Hearthstone and say, hey, log into World of Warcraft, get some freaking artifact power. You want to be level 70 before 8.3 hits. So I'm like, eh. So I'm doing my WoW chores, but I'm like, can I play Battlegrounds yet?
It's a full-time job.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. All right. So let's go ahead and what today's discussion and stuff is all about is I think we're going to talk a lot about Shadowlands and possibly dive into the reactions of other people about their thoughts on Shadowlands and WoW and the state of things. We may take a trip down a dark alley known as the forums.
Oh,
yay.
Because it's good to do that every once in a while. Now, Mike, you are so happy about going down the forums.
Oh, I love the forums. Oh, my God. It's like Mos Eisley space part. It really is. It's
a wretched hide of scum and villainy.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that. But, all right, the Shadowlands. There was a lot that was said about the Shadowlands. At the same time, I feel that there is quite a fair bit that people don't know. Obviously, players have a lot of questions about some of this content. So the way I kind of want to handle this discussion is talk about the good, the bad, and the unknown. The stuff that we don't know that we want to know. So why don't we start with the good first? Navix, from everything that you know so far about Shadowlands that's been shown to us, what has you hyped? What are you considering the good about this next expansion?
All right, I have a laundry list of stuff that's dear to me about Shadowlands. So let's just start off with, first of all, palling around with our buddy Bolvar. Oh my God, alliance bias. Mm. But, you know, I like the fact that Bolvar is going to play a major role in the narrative. And we'll get to see, you know, we'll get to find out what the year spent as Lich King has done to him and all sorts of things there. Another thing, I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, but Ian said it. And this is something that I was like really excited about. Transmog. We're going to get to transmog some of the old legendary stuff.
That was really cool. Said in the Q&A.
The other thing, Torghast. We're going to collect the runes for our legendaries. That's that tower that we're going to be doing with the, you know, with a party. That's going to be a lot of fun. Anima, that's got me interested. The nice thing about it, they said, was going to be, you know, you will be required to get, you know, a certain amount per week. But beyond that, it doesn't do anything except offer cosmetic rewards and not power rewards, which is really good.
That quickly sounds to me like how they're doing Azerite earning in island expeditions, where like you do the first four islands to get that big that big weekly bonus. But after that, you're just going for cosmetic stuff. It seems in that kind of vein.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that kind of, progression because I love playing World of Warcraft. I don't want it to turn into a chore, and that's what it always turns into whenever we have these types of power grinds, because you get some of the players, mostly the raiders, mostly the mythic raiders, and I know that some people do like that grind, and they like to sit there, and they like to just grind that stuff out, but I got other stuff I want to do. You know, I love World of Warcraft, but there's other things I want to be spending my time on too. So to be able to jump into the game and know that I'm not falling behind and just taking care of what I need to take care of that week works for me, you know? So that was one of the things I was really excited about. And the other thing, I know it's minor. It's actually not minor at all. I'm a big Warcraft music guy. I love all of the music. So I am so happy about the new soundtrack that we're going to be getting with this expansion and all that kind of stuff. So, but I mean I know it, mine seems a lot simpler than other people's, like, what are they looking forward to? But it really isn't. I'm a fan of World of Warcraft. I'm a mark for anything they put out. So, you know, I'm going to play it no matter what. I don't have a lot of, if you're looking to me to bitch and moan and complain about the game, it's, I'm not going to, unless it comes down to the whole Pathfinder thing and flying, which I will kick and scream, but I'll still do it. You're not gonna find a lot of negativity out of me in regards to anything we get with a new expansion, and also the level squish. Oh my God, I'm so happy for this. If I didn't mention it at the top, that's like the top of my list right there, is that 1-60 level squish. So
I love that you said that, because as we will find out later on, there are people who feel exactly the opposite about you in some ways.
No.
No.
But that's why we love the forums, isn't it? Berserker, what about you? What's got you hyped for Shadowlands?
Well, as my man Nav said, getting to hang out with Bolvar is certainly high on the list of things I'm looking forward to in Shadowlands as a longtime Alliance player, as somebody who still holds the Wrathgate in very high regard and essentially the storyline of Wrath of the Lich King. I have worried about our boy sitting up there for a while. Looks like he's been up to some things while he's been sitting up there. So now to see him fully in his charred flesh in this expansion, I'm looking forward to that. I'll admit, my swing of emotions as we ran through that cinematic were pretty wild, where at first I thought we were getting the whole world that had been promised to me via leaks. And then we saw what happened to Bolvar. I was like, no. And then we saw the end and I was like, hooray. So it really just kind of, it went really wild, you know, and that's just kind of how it goes. But
when Sylvanas held that helm,
yeah,
what were you thinking at that moment when she just held the helm in front of her before she started pulling on that thing? Did you think it was going to happen?
Well, very conflicted. I will tell you, very conflicted, because on one hand, Nav and I have talked about many times on our show how the Lich Queen idea, certainly not original to us, but it is something that has been floated out there amongst the community forever. Mm. And Edge of Night, having been this short story that's now been out for a number of years, really helped to feed, you know, all of this nexus between what's going on up there on the top of Ice Crown and what's happening now and what's going to happen and all that. So when I saw her holding that, I'm like, oh, I guess this is happening. Here we go. I was hooked in just like everybody else. But then when I saw her trying to, well, and successfully shredding that thing, like as I said before, like a wishbone on Thanksgiving, I was kind of disappointed because I was like, no, what about Bolvar? Like that would, I'm like, no, put it back in his prison. And then I thought about that thought for a second. I go, wait a minute. No, we should probably let him go. That's we'll let him do something.
Speaking of that, did you see the artwork from Bayard Wu, the illustrator and concept artist at Blizzard, of the Bolvar that he did?
It was amazing.
So
for the cover of Game Informer, I think it is.
That's exactly it. It was on Game Informer, yeah. And Wowhead had a thing out on it. It's just, I want this piece of art. It's got Bolvar without the Lich King helm on, and he's got it looks like a party. Like, it looks like the champion. It just looks like probably what would be us in the background. Like,
well, I assume that's probably what he's going to look like in game once we start getting, you know, all of the various data mining going on. So that part's very high on the list. But, you know, the setting, I think, going into the Shadowlands, seeing this new universe, this new reality, whatever we want to call it, I find that to be wildly intriguing in terms of the possibilities for us as players, certainly for the lore, what we're going to see there, who we're going to see there. You know, I made no secret about it. Please, dear God, let Varian Wrynn be okay and somewhere accessible that I can go and take him out for a beer. So I'm very excited about that. The leveling process being totally revamped, not just the squish, mind you, because it sounds like we're getting a level squish, but not a stat squish, and the new leveling process of you pick an expansion and you just level through that and you're all the way through to 50. I think that is phenomenal. And for lazy asses like me that don't alt anything, it might actually get me to really honest to God do it, because there's some stories I'd love to play through. Pandaria, Wrath, obviously. Mm. Even
think about all the Legion class hall things she could do.
And then I was just about to say, and Legion with the class hall stuff that I still haven't seen since I did some of them in the beta a million years ago. Very excited about that. I think the Covenant experiment could be good depending on how that ultimately plays out. I think that sort of Aldor Scryer comparison that people have thrown out there, it worked before. I don't see why it couldn't work again, particularly with a focus on player customization, which they've talked a lot about. And last but not least, no more AP grind. Banish that to the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people I haven't heard anyone upset about the loss of artifact power as far as a primary progression system. I mean, in some ways, it seems like Anima is the inheritor of it, but it's not going to be anywhere near as extensive or as grindy as Artifact Power is. At least that's how they're conveying it right now. And I'm definitely for that. I mean, myself, I've been playing multiple games like Hearthstone and other games, some that are non-Blizzard games, and I don't invest anywhere near as much time in World of Warcraft nowadays as I used to in the past. Mm-hmm. But so far, what I'm seeing from this system and their plans, I could see a World of Warcraft where I may actually get two characters or three characters to max level. The ease of leveling for alts is a huge thing. Now, I'm a person who typically plays a main character, but the main reason why I've been playing just a single character is because the sheer thought of the epic grind from one to max level, it just felt daunting to me. Mm-hmm. With this level squish and with the way that they are doing it by expansion from 10 to 50, for the first time in a long time, I feel like leveling an alt might not be a bad idea, especially if I can do it through Legion and do the class hall stories, which is one of the things that I miss most about playing Legion and sticking to mainly one character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It also helps out with when you have a friend playing and you party up with them, and then you can party sync. 1 to 60 with a party sync is, I think it's a lot better experience than trying to party sync, and at level 20 or something, and you're 120 and it drops you down to 60 instead of, 60 down to something a little bit lower. I think it's going to work out a lot better in the long run for the party sync feature as well.
Well, yeah, because you put all those disparate parts together, right? And you've got recruit a friend, you've got party sync, you've got revamp leveling, and you've got a squish. So you put all of that together and you've got main player comes in, been around a long time, tells his buddy, hey, come on, got to get into Warcraft. I've been begging you for years. Please, dear God, come play with us. Don't be left out, so you know what we're talking about when we say all these insane things around the office. Okay, fine, I'll jump in. Tell you what, I've got this alt shaman that I've been working on. Why don't you come in and bring your warrior, because that's the best class, and we'll buddy up wherever you are, and we'll play together, and I'll get you leveled up, and you can come on board with us, and we'll get some rewards, and we'll do the whole thing, and it'll be fun. So that is kind of the comprehensive plan that I see that they put together with this. And I think it's really brilliant for them to have done this, because it gets new and old together, which is, as a 15-year-old game, something you got to start thinking about, because it's so unusual to be in this space where you have a game that's this old and it's still vibrant and alive, and with classic, it's kind of growing, and it's really strange. So you have to get all that together in a way that keeps it going and brings in new blood. And with all of that together, I think it's a great way to do it.
Yeah, and I guess the main other thing that I'm finding that I'm hyped about is something you touched on, Navix, and that is Torghath, the Tower of the Damned. Although I do have friends that I play with, and, a couple nights a week I have a raid team that I do raid content with, the bulk of my experience playing World of Warcraft, and I'm sure this isn't different from a lot of people, at least nowadays, is a kind of a solo experience. And the fact that Torghath is this experience that feels like it's progression at end game that I can do by myself if I want to, or if I have one or two friends that want to come along and do it, I can do it. And I don't feel like I'm trapped to that five player rule. Now, mind you, you can have up to five players in Torghath if you want, but if you want to do it with one person, if you want to do it with two, four, or just by yourself, the flexibility there and the fact that that content is going to be super relevant, that's supposed to be very replayable, roguelike. It's very much tied with the system on crafting and creating legendaries. To me, I think, in terms of gameplay, not story, because story's a whole other issue, but in terms of just the gameplay of the next expansion, the bulk of my enjoyment is going to rest not as much on the raid experience, but on Torghath.
Yeah.
Yeah, Torghath looks pretty rad, considering it's combining the legendary aspect, replayability aspect, and they're promising some major lore bombs up in that joint. So that all sounds pretty good.
Absolutely. Well, that's a good wrap up of what we're hyped about. Now, I will say this. You guys sound a lot more positive and hyped about this expansion than I do. And that's not to say that, no, but here's the thing. I do have concerns and I have questions, but I actually appreciate that you guys are as positive about this so far as I am. And if you don't have anything critical or bad to say about what you've seen so far, that's totally fine. But just in case, Berserker, is there anything about Shadowlands that is rubbing you the wrong way?
There is one major thing that is rubbing me the wrong way.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with the gameplay, so to speak, because frankly, we don't know very much about it.
Sure.
It's just Sylvanas fatigue. Man, I am getting to the point where I hope that this wraps up her story or wherever they're taking us with her, because it's kind of like Gul'dan. I'm getting a little tired of seeing the same people all the time. Like, don't get me wrong. I think the new Bolvar looks great, and I hope that they do a bunch of cinematics with him. But after this expansion, I'm not looking for three more expansions worth of cinematics to see him in. Like, the story has to move on at some point. Yeah. And they're creating a hell of an arc with her. And I think that there is credit to be given there. And I do want to see how that plays out, because it is interesting as it gets. But the you know, Sylvanas is OP and all of these kinds of things, and she just goes in, and I get it, she's got some supernatural power going on beyond the normal supernatural power. I can buy that enough for what has happened thus far, what we've seen, and you know, we'll see it. But I can't go another expansion beyond this with her like twirling her mustache, escaped again. Like, I have to find out where this thing is going, or else it's going to burn a little bit of my faith, because up to this point, I have been pretty loyal in the sense that I trust Blizzard. I trust where they're going to take me on this, even if I don't get it all the time or it's not immediately clear to me. Because I'll tell you, my buddy Rommel, who watched me react to Mists of Pandaria when that was released, and I fell apart, and I was like, this is the end of WoW, this is it, it's going to hell. And it was one of the best expansions, right? So they earned that loyalty from me, but Sylvanas fatigue is definitely real for me. And just as a note to the listeners out there, she's bad. She's been bad. This is not new. This is the track they've been taking her down.
Hold on there. Yeah. Berserker.
Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me Sylvanas is evil?
Oh, man.
Sylvanas burned a tree full of children. There is no right good thing about that.
I can't really argue that point.
But just know that you have listeners right now that have just fell apart behind the wheel of their car on their way into work.
Oh, somewhere John Jagger is shedding a single tear.
At Berserker Rage on Twitter. Let her rip. Come and get me.
Oh, man. And Navix, how about you? And now, obviously, I think one of the bads for you, because you mentioned it a little bit ago, Pathfinder may be rubbing you a little bit raw. Huh?
It does, but that's not actually the biggest issue I have. If you want to put it in a bad category, for me, right off the bat, I get anxiety about what covenant to go with. Like, what? I mean, seriously, ultimately, I'll probably go with whatever, you know, covenant the guides tell
us.
Don't worry.
Arcteros will tell us exactly on WoWhead one's the best.
Yeah, I'll wait for Archie to put his stuff out there on WoWhead, and I'll be like, okay, that's boom. It's in the, you know, it's like a field manual. So we just follow the field manual.
But what if you have to be a Night Fae warrior to mid-max properly?
Oh, man. It
then fairy wings on your back and everything. Not that there's anything wrong with fairy wings. I mean, that whole aesthetic is fine. But it's interesting, right?
Tinkerbell that shit up and just accept it. That's what I'm just going to go with. And that's, you know, that'll be it. That's what I'm going to have to do.
You and Taronda holding hands going through that new Arden Weld or whatever it's
called. Sparkle Pony. Anyway, we got also the other thing, the Horde Alliance. I know this is not really the bad, but I was really hoping that Horde and Alliance were going to get to play together. They still can't party together. There's an armistice. And the devs even said, you know, staying true to the heart of the game is having the red versus blue. And that's fine. I can accept that. That's fine. It's great, you know, and I'll, but the nice thing is that we are going to have the same storyline. So it's not like, well, I went through it on Alliance. Let me go through it at Horde. I think we both have the same narrative this time around. I think the Horde and Alliance are just going to, Bolvar is going to guide us through. So, it, you know, Bolvar will be the new Dadgar. So, yeah, but that's basically it. And Pathfinder, because, you know.
Well, that's not too bad. Now, you guys may find what I'm critical of to be a little bit interesting, and that is the best way for me to put it. I've been playing World of Warcraft for a long time. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as long as some people, not since vanilla. I've been playing since Middle Burning Crusade. I've seen many different incarnations of World of Warcraft. I remember to a fair degree how each expansion felt in terms of gameplay.
Yeah.
Legion was really good. Legion was such an improvement over Warlords of Draenor that I felt like Legion was the strongest expansion that WoW had since Wrath of the Lich King. Battle for Azeroth, to me, was fine. I didn't think negatively about Battle for Azeroth, as opposed to a lot of people who called Battle for Azeroth either the worst or another Warlords of Draenor, whatever have you. I wasn't that negative or critical about Battle for Azeroth. At the same time, I do agree with the sentiment that Battle for Azeroth didn't feel very, when it comes to gameplay, very innovative. It didn't feel like it was doing too much very different from Legion. In some ways, it even kind of scaled back on some stuff. What we know now about Shadowlands, when you take one of the key features away, when you take Torghath away, and mind you, this one reason why I think I love Torghath so much is because of how different an experience it is for me compared to all the stuff I've been doing the past 3 to 4 years. But when you look at this other stuff here, I think what I'm running into is a question of, how is this going to feel different? How is it going to feel better? And then a question needs to be asked of, does Blizzard have a responsibility when coming out with a new expansion to have crazy new systems and stuff like that? Or is just doing what they know how to do best enough? And I think for some people, doing what they know how to do best is enough. For me, for most of my time playing WoW, it has been enough, but in a time where I'm now finding myself with varying interests, wanting to play various different games, when I see that the majority of what Shadowlands appears to be presenting is a lot of the same kind of stuff that I'm used to, it makes me wonder how invested I'm going to be in this expansion compared to others.
Those are fair points, and I think that part of the balance that it seems to me like they're trying to strike is how casual can you be to still be successful in this game, and it's certainly, the needle has certainly moved towards the more casual being allowed to still be competitive in certain circumstances where, like we're talking about with, you don't have to go into Torghath, at least from what it sounds like, you don't have to go into Torghath so many times and do so many things and you can max out and you have to do this. You have to get so much anima and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more static in a sense where I don't have to be there all day, every day. I can come in there a little more infrequently and still not lag behind in terms of power creep with like people on my raid team. Right.
They aren't Diablo greater rifts. They aren't Mythic plus dungeons, basically.
Right. And so I see more of that shift, and kind of to your point about things in Battle for Azeroth, you know, the war fronts, the island expeditions, you know, some of those things, you know, that to me, I was a lot more excited about that early on. And then when it came time to actually do the things after a little while, island expeditions just never synced with me for some reason. And the war fronts, they were not the RTS thing that I had hoped that they would be. It just did not. It was not what I wanted. So I can understand certain complaints in terms of the style or the gameplay or what they've been working on. But I would look at it too as we're like a year away or like 10 months away from even seeing this thing in front of us. And from what I've seen so far, it looks like they're trying to keep stuff that people did like, and they're trying to iterate on things that they think people will like, or maybe will like in a slightly different way. And, you know, with this group, you can't swing too wildly or else people go, oh, this guy is falling.
There's no way to make everybody happy. There's always going to be someone bitching and moaning about something.
That's what we'll get to.
Yeah, to continue on that, I was going to say that exact same thing. You know, WoW's a ship, and you can't really steer it too far one way or another. What we're seeing with Shadowlands, and for example, the Torghast, that tower, the fact that it's going to be different every time you go into it. We've already seen a little bit of this technology with Waycrest Manor, where you go in Waycrest and you can go two or three different ways. You know, the zone doesn't start out the same way. I'm really, really interested. We talked about this a little bit on Unshackled Fury about the, you know, what they're doing with the AI. And I know that people, Island sucks. I don't like doing Island. Okay, well, it's a technology that they're trying to develop and hone so that in future expansions, they're going to make more use of this. And, you know, I do see the minor improvements every single expansion. And I agree with you. Legion was one of the best expansions. And Battle for Azeroth, I think Battle for Azeroth was a great expansion. There was, you know, stepping off the docks in Freeport and just, you know, having the music hit you, being in the environment, and it was, I loved it. You know, I got goosebumps. I still get, you know, I can go through the intro and still get goosebumps. It's like, wow, you know, this is really great. And I think we're going to have that again with Shadowlands. The developers can't take too much because change it because you've seen it and we'll talk about it from when we get to the WoW forums. Folks in the WoW community don't generally take to change all that well. And you kind of have to just, you know, edge them little by little by little into, oh, you know, I don't like this, but the devs actually, you know, I believe the devs do know what's best. I have faith in our devs, and I feel like they're steering the ship in a good direction. And I think, you know, we see it with the level squish. We see it, you know, with some other things that are, you know, taking place in this new expansion. So I'm on board with whatever changes we have, and sure, call me Mark, whatever, NAV_OX out there on Twitter. I don't care, but but yeah. So.
But to your point, Ro, there is definitely more meat on the bone that we need to know about.
Yes, and that kind of is a great segue into the last thing, which is just that very thing, the unknown. And there is a lot of things we know a fair bit about. Some of the key elements, some of the key systems that are going to be in Shadowlands. Mm-hmm. There's plenty that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I would say because we are dealing with an area that is not familiar in terms of like, this isn't the Eastern Kingdoms, this isn't Kalimdor, this is something that is very alien to us. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of reminded of two different expansions in which we ran into this thing. And it played out in two very different ways. On the good side, I would say that you had Pandaria, which was an entire continent with lore and story that we knew nothing about except there were pandas on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people had concerns about how that story was going to go. Yep. And I know a lot of people that ended up saying, you know what? That was actually some of the best storytelling I've seen in World of Warcraft in some time.
And I'm one of them.
Hmm. On the other hand, you have Warlords of Draenor, which I would say, again, an alien familiar, yet also a very alien place because it was an alternate timeline and everything like that. I'd say the questing experience and the story questing leveling experience was all right. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the overall story arc and when you look at how a few of the key characters and the few of the key story threads didn't really get the attention or development that they deserve because the expansion came across as being a little bit rushed. People were very critical of that, and some people didn't have near any investment in that because it was an alternate timeline. It's not the Azeroth I knew, or it's not the part of the timeline I'm familiar with. So why does what matters as far as whatever we do here? It has no impact on what happens in the rest of the game. So all that said, here we are going into the afterlife of WoW. And while we know that at some point we're going to be reunited and visit characters that have passed on, like we may learn the fates of characters like, say, Varian, Kael'thas, we know is going to be in there. A lot of characters are apparently in the Maw, and we're going to have to deal with that. So there's going to be some revisitation of previous characters and spirits and stuff like that. But when you take that aside, you have four completely new zones running with lore and story and environments that are going to feel very alien to us. And for the most part, at least at first glance, you have to wonder just how does this connect to what I experience on Azeroth? Just what is it about these stories and these environments and these characters that's going to hook me? And for me, I'd say when it comes to the unknown, that's my big question as far as like what's going to happen with a story to really get me hooked on it. And I guess it's going to be kind of dependent on how much they incorporate familiar elements into the unfamiliar. I think that's going to be important. I have no problem with exploring completely new realms, completely unfamiliar places, but there needs to be some familiar stuff to get me hooked in at first and show me, hey, this is why this is awesome.
And I think that's coming down the line. We still don't know, you know, we still have another raid coming up, and and I feel like we still have the unfinished business of, again, just the sword just sitting out there. Like it's still out there.
I don't think we're going to find out the resolution to that at the end of this expansion.
Slam that sword down in Azeroth. What? That's old. That's old.
It's just part of the yard now, bro. It's like an old junker car that's been left out there to rust
now. But yeah, I'm sure there will be something that I understand would say, like, what's driving me to want to go and experience this? Why do I care about, you know, it's like,
there we go. It's what, what are the stakes? That's the thing. Yes, there's this whole big hole shattered in the sky. We know about these souls going to the Maw, but I think the stakes are important. And we know that there's going to be like Scourge invasions leading up to the Shadowlands expansion. And I think that's going to help with some of the stakes. It's like, look, this Shadowlands stuff needs to be fixed or the Scourge are going to completely run over Azeroth like you wouldn't believe. That there's a primary motivation and I'm in on that. I think there needs to be a little bit more than that, but I get it.
Well, and to your point, that's probably too simplistic a thing, right? Especially for Blizzard, where it's, okay, there's no Helm of Domination. That's what kept the Scourge at bay. There is no more Helm of Domination, or it's at least been significantly damaged. Let's go back, and apparently the Forge and the blacksmith who made this are in the Shadowlands. Let's go talk to this person. Let's get it rebuilt, put it back on, all is well. Like that's too tidy, right? That can't possibly be the answer. So it seems that, to your point about what is the larger story here, and that's what we don't know, is what is that hook? It seems like, at least in the early stages, it has a lot to do with whatever is going on between Sylvanas and the jailer. Like, what's the jailer's motive here? Are they trying to, because now the veil has been pierced, it's been shattered, it's been completely exploded and destroyed. So
what's the next step?
What is that to bring something through? What are you bringing through? What are you doing? Because getting souls, oh, that's nice. Okay, you've got more souls. I mean, are you collecting them like bracelet charms? No, there's got to be some kind of need or power exchange or something that we as players, I assume, are going to discover or uncover and say, oh, shit, this is going to happen if we don't you know, get in with these various covenants and rally whatever these forces are, get our own stuff together, try to, I don't know if we can close this gigantic thing that has happened, but at least corral whatever evil forces are trying to disrupt that balance between life and death, because maybe they're expecting us to sort of have this altruistic view, but now we're learning that all of our favorite dead people from the last several years or however long are now being tortured in endless whatever the in the maw in Torghast. They're just being, you know, savage.
Let's call it Warcraft hell, because that's what it is.
Yeah, they're basically stuck in Warcraft hell. How great a reward is that for Sarfang, who was like, I'm going out like a badass. I'm going to bring the Horde together. And then, oh, he wakes up and he's chained to a wall and he's having to watch his son be tortured or some horrible thing, you know, like from a Saw series. Like, that's not good. Like, you know, so you want to help those people out. But to your point, there's got to be something bigger to hook everyone in to say, okay, we're all going through the portal. Let's go. Let's go stop whatever this madness is. So that is still to come, and I'm sure that they'll give it to us, but it is unknown.
Yeah, it's and again, just the fact that that's like what the unknown, the stuff that I'm thinking about, doesn't make it neither a good thing or a bad thing,
right.
That's the thing that's on my mind the most. Absolutely. When it comes to the next expansion,
right?
Navix, when it comes to like whether it's story or gameplay elements, is there anything that strikes you as like, what is it that you are most eager to find out about?
Honest to God, I am all about the familiar faces that we'll be seeing. That's it. I keep thinking about that. Like, I'm trying to think of all of these past, you know, big, powerful, you know, pieces of the story that we have not, we didn't get a chance to experience. Like, for example, I thought we're probably going to run into Dalen Proudmoore. He'll probably be in the Maw. Chances are, you know, Murad, we lost Murad during Warlords, you know, he'll probably be there.
We lost one version of Velen in Warlords.
There we go. Yeah. So, I mean, this has given the Warcraft story team so much to work with, really, because they can pull stories from anything at this point. It's almost like a Marvel reset. You know, it's almost like that, where they can just pull in stories and go from there. And then at the end, it'll be some sad, you know, it'll be some sad, heartfelt thing with, you know, Anduin and Beren and Tiffin. And unless they turn it into some like Beetlejuice type, you know, Tim Burton deal, where when they died, they maintained what happened to them. So like I said, like with Tiffin with a rock stuck in her head or something, and Varian, like not all together. He's just like kind of separated around, and you know,
he's a pile of like floating dust,
yeah, you know, but it's going to give.
I'll still take it.
No, it's just, you know, it'll be nice to see where the story goes from here. And I like the fact that everything that we've guessed with how the story is going to go, nobody actually guessed, and nobody actually really guessed how the storyline was going to go at this point. And I like the fact that they can keep us on the hook and surprise us. And, you know,
so, yeah. Well, to your question of sort of the unknown, and this is something that Nav just touched on, is here we are looking at, okay, who do we want to see? Cause we know we're going to see Uther, right? We know we're going to see Kael'thas. We've been given a couple names. I know I'm thinking like, oh, what's Varian up to? What's Lothar up to? What's Medivh up to? And Ronan? And we got a couple Gul'dans lying around. And, you know, we got all these people that we're wondering about. At some point, they have to decide where the cutoff is. Like, how important a character are you to this story to be included? Because there's going to be a lot of faces that people are going to want to see that are not included. And from here until eternity, there's going to be Q&A questions about, why didn't you include XYZ person that I really wanted to see who used to be in my garrison? I love them.
Do you know who I want to see? Do you know who I want to see that's not a super main character, but I think it would just be perfect if this character was in the Shadowlands?
It's Will? Sad.
No, Mancrick's wife.
It sounds like that's happening.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's happening. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're all looking at the big ones, right? It's the Arthases, it's the Tyrians, it's all these super big ones that were like, oh man, what's happening to them? But I think the beauty of Warcraft and the real genius of their storytelling is they're going to find the other ones, the Kindi Sparkshines, the Bancrix wives, these other ones that are not the scene stealers necessarily in a big sense, but in the little sense. And that's where you're going to get those hooks.
But
like, I got to say,
what if Vanessa Van Cleef finds her father? Oh
yeah, but man. And to that, you know, we've killed a lot of bad things too. So,
yeah, but most of them have been demons, and demons don't go there, so it's kind of a wash.
I'm predicting a raid fight for the next expansion. I don't know when it's going to happen. It's not going to happen in the first raiding tier, I'm pretty sure. But do not be surprised. Here I am calling a shot like a year and a half in advance, maybe.
Do it.
We're going to fight not one, but two Gul'dans.
Ooh, yep. Are they riding a pet Garrosh?
Oh, maybe. But I mean, hey, we have two Gul'dans that have died so far in Warcraft, so why not?
And one without a head.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll throw that.
Oh, it's going to be. Oh, he could be the new Headless Horseman.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Hey, the Headless Horseman will be there too. So, hey.
That's true.
Like, God, more you guys
are. Is at the mount. Yay.
You guys are awful.
There's an interesting question as far as like spirits and stuff like that. They're going to have to explain how like wandering spirits and stuff work. Like, does a Headless Horseman, is he able to just travel back and forth from the Shadowlands to Azeroth? How does that all work?
Yeah, that is part of the theological problem that they've opened for themselves is now there is confirmation of an afterlife. You know, we've seen various things, but it's a physical place and things go there. And how do you resolve all of this other stuff? I mean, they're pretty creative. I'm sure they figured out a way, but like, if you're bad, you're not supposed to be able to get out of the mall, but apparently people have, Sylvanas. So what are we doing? So we got to figure that out.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I can't believe we've spent this much time talking about Shadowlands as we've had. So I do want to kind of close out this week's episode by taking a little bit of time and talking about a few forum posts, some which are definitely relevant here. I just basically, you know, you people on the forums, I don't know if there's any forum writers who listen to this show. Doubt it. But let's assume that there's one or two of you that write on the forums. You people on the forums, you really make things easy for me. All I have to do is go to the forums, click on general discussion, and then under views, look for the number that's in yellow that has like 1,000 views and has like 500-600 replies. And it's like, okay, this is, as Taliesin would say, a shit show, obviously. and I pulled a few gems and I'd like to see what your comments are about this. The first one this is one that I think is going to be near and dear to Navix here. Why do people defend Pathfinder? A Death Knight named Doug said, like, back in the day when you could just buy it, did you used to say to yourself, man, this is too easy. I wish I had to wait a year and grind 10 factions to Revered before I could fly. That sure would be fun. And 522 replies later, this is still getting tossed around. Now, the backstory on this is during the Q&A for Shadowlands at BlizzCon, Taliesin himself popped the question of flying. How's it happening? And Ian basically said the same way it's been happening since Legion.
Yeah.
Much to the only moment at BlizzCon, I think, that got loud boos, actually, come to think of it.
Well,
Navix, how do you feel about Pathfinder?
All right. So listen, if it's between letting us fly and not, then I'm on the side of keeping Pathfinder, but I am in, you know, that whole time gating thing is terrible, but you know, let's think back, and the devs did try to do away with flying in WoD. This is just another example of devs listening to player feedback and allowing us to continue to fly when this was going to be taking off the table altogether. And, you know, looking back at Battle for Azeroth, Is it cool that we're flying now? Sure. From an alt perspective, it's great. I'm having fun leveling my alts. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying, you know, being able to fly now. But I will say this from somebody who hates Pathfinder, somebody who loves flying, it did not in any way severely hinder my gameplay experience in Battle for Azeroth by not flying early on. So I'm just saying, I'm giving an honest opinion here that, you know, it really didn't hinder my gameplay at all. And if we're being completely honest, on my main, I'm not even flying around now. It's like I jumped out into a portal. The only time I'm flying is when I hop on a bird to fly out to, you know, go to the Eternal Palace. That's the only time I'm basically on my mount now. You know, you jump down into the portal room, go through the Najatar portal, and then you fly over.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'm flying on my alts. You know, I do enjoy flying on my alts. So that is great. It's helping me level, doing the B mount stuff. That's, you know, another alliance bias thing, that we get to, you know, fly around and look for honey and stuff like that. So, but yeah, you know, yeah. So I'm good with keeping Pathfinder the way it is right now. Even though
so you're kind of in the camp of you're not a fan, but it could be worse. We could have no flying.
It's like, I'm just accepting it. I've reached a level of acceptance to just say, this is the way things are. And okay, cool. As long as we can keep flying, Ian, just that's fine. We'll do it your way. You seem, you know.
How about you, Berserker? What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, boo-hoo. I'm an entitled player, and I need my flying right away, and I can't wait. Oh, cry me a river, please. Here's the thing. Pathfinder is fine. Pathfinder as a concept is fine. You do the content, you know, you go through, and you see the quests, and you explore all the areas and all that stuff. That's fine. You should. You know what? I don't care. If I worked as hard as these guys work on this stuff, I'd make you go through it too, just so you have to see all the cool stuff we put in the game. Tough shit. Now, it's when the Pathfinder stuff comes through. To me, that's where it could be eased up a bit. Now, having part one, part two, okay, that's fine. Maybe you pull the trigger on part two a little sooner. Maybe you don't wait as long to do it, but, you know, to the comment about, yeah, you used to be able to go buy a tome and that was no big deal. Well, here's the thing. Gold was not as easily available back then, so you still had to farm up the gold and do the thing, and it's not like it happened automatically for everybody. It was a different set of circumstances. So, you know, they've tried different things over the year. I think the will we, won't we warlords thing that they did, that was terrible. Thankfully, they'll never do that again. I hope that they've learned from that lesson. Just say yes, you'll have flying, and this is how it's going to work some vague way here. But
Here's the thing about just a small comment on Warlords. The fact that they went back on their thing by caving in and creating Pathfinder and allowing flying in Warlords of Draenor, they've now kind of painted themselves in a corner where if they ever try to play that card again, the player base knows that they can push them the other way and get them to say, no, no.
Yep. Yep. So for anybody that says they never listen, well, if you were around in Warlords, they definitely changed their mind, because that was not a good game of chicken to play.
My opinion on it, I am one of those people that defend Pathfinder and think that the system is fine. And here's why I think the system is fine. Because I'm an old school kind of gamer when it comes to role playing games. Yeah. And for me, I remember some of the earlier, you know, single player console RPGs that I played, where you explore the land that you're going to, you explore this world that you're going to, you check out all the places, and then somewhere around the third act of the story, you get access to an airship or some sort of, you know, super awesome vehicle or teleportation device or something, and it gives you access to the world in a far more convenient and friendly way than you did the first two parts of the game. And you know what? Every time I run into a moment like that, it's always a great feeling moment.
Yeah.
We live, when it comes to gaming in these expansive worlds, I think a lot of players are spoiled by games that have things such as fast travel, you know, and to a lesser degree, stuff like, you know, flight points and stuff like that in the MMOs. But man, this is just one of those things where I say, I remember back in my day when we got airships late in the game and we liked them. I still feel that way. I still feel like having that form of progression, it's not power level progression, but it's quality of life progression. It's just convenience progression. And I think that's just as valid a gameplay element as how much DPS you do over the course of a game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and to prove the point on this, Nav, how long did it take you to complete Pathfinder Part 2 once it was live?
Oh, a week and a half, 2 weeks. Honestly, it was.
Oh, no. A week and a half. So, thank you.
Forever.
It seemed forever because you had to do that Mechagon rep, which was just horrible. It was god awful. I mean,
it's funny because for me, Nazjatar rep was the bad one.
I love Nazjatar, but Mechagon was just because it was a build a zone type deal because you were going there and then you would discover quests along the way that it would build upon. It would just keep going and going and going. And you're like, oh, okay, now I get it now. So I have to make the rounds. But the point is
that you were able to do it in under 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So tough.
Because for the most part, you're getting all the rep you need while you're doing your quests. So
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to skip one of the posts I plan to do with someone complaining about the mount requirement for the new anniversary Ultra Valley mount.
Oh my God,
mount,
because, yeah, the
I'm going to say this just really briefly as far as that goes. Is the grind kind of stupid? It's a little bit stupid, but considering after only 1 week of it being out, I'm more than halfway there. I don't think it's that bad. We have until January. If you are complaining about the requirement for the AV mount, good news. You have 2 months to get it.
Also, if you want to kill Korok, just swap to the Horde side and get it done if you really want to get that one done. So,
traitor.
No doubt. All right. The next thing I want to talk about, and I feel like I have to bring this up because it's rare that I have Alliance players on this show.
I noticed.
Speaking of factions, there's this one post called Horde Favoritism Delusion. And this is from Korzak, an orc shaman who's apparently playing WoW Classic lately. I'm guessing he plays in Battle for Azeroth too, because he seems to know what's going on there. He says, I see nonstop complaints from Alliance about Horde favoritism when this entire expansion has been Alliance favoritism.
Yeah.
War mode gives Alliance bigger bonuses and dominate world PvP with it. In lore canon, the Horde lose every war front, which we learned at BlizzCon is a fact. Zandalari leader killed while gnome leader gets hurt and becomes a cyborg. I thought he became a popsicle, not a cyborg. Cold Tyrants have amazing racials and are entirely new models versus Zandalari being reused Night Elf and Troll models and animations. Devs confirmed the Alliance won the Fourth War. Horde has a war chief lose their mind for a second time, and Horde heroes are Alliance apologists.
Yeah,
apparently, there's nothing but Horde favoritism to you, Alliance scum. Ridiculous. So, Alliance scum, how do you answer this post?
Well, I'll answer this post with one thing. How many Alliance guilds have been world first in the last billion years of the raids?
I mean, for real, so though.
Has there been an Alliance guild world first ever?
Thank you. I rest my case. However, I will say more. Did you see those Sarfang cinematics? Oh, that was a bunch of Horde political nonsense playing out in front of everyone. That wasn't about the Alliance. Yeah, okay, you had Anduin go down there, but it wasn't about Anduin. It was about what was going on with Sarfang wanting his Horde back. They had the best line in the whole thing. So, you can chew on that. We got what? Varian one time and he gets killed. Zandalari leader, you had him for half an expansion. Gnome leader had been around forever. I don't want to hear anything about it. Why do you think the Alliance gets bigger bonuses? Because the Horde is better at PvP and they dominate. They need to give us help because we suck. That's why there's a Horde bias.
I will, before I let you chime in, Avex, I want to briefly say, I think a lot of the points that this poster is making aren't wrong, but here's the thing about Alliance favorite. Here's the thing. Yeah, from a lore story point of view, is there Horde favoritism? I'd say yes and no. The Alliance seem to be gaining a lot of advantages with this, true. But one thing I would definitely say is a case over the course of the past several years in World of Warcraft is that more often than not, a lot of the story that deals with factional characters tends to lean heavy on Horde factional characters because they more often than not seem to be the more interesting characters that are being written for.
Yep.
Anduin is not as interesting as Zappy Boy.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, and my apologies to anyone who's a fan of Anduin. Zappy Boy is a more interesting character to me than Anduin is. I'm sorry.
I don't know if I necessarily agree about that, but I think that
That is literally how I feel right now. Anduin's not interesting to me.
And here is the thing, to further push this point. Anduin's been doing what? Recently.
Exactly.
Not a lot. So again, to your point and to the point of all of this, right, is that yes, I think that the story has been more focused on the Horde, and it is more interesting because they're getting more time to be interesting. And
it's kind of a catch 22 in a way. It's like they're more interesting, therefore they get more time, and because they get more time, they become more interesting.
And don't get me wrong, that Thrall Daddy cinematic with Sarfang is one of the most badass things that they have ever put out, and I love it to death, and I'm as Alliance as it gets. But, you know, you gotta tell that story, and they should, and that's great. But, yeah, I think through the history of the franchise, I do think that we're always gonna see it different ways, but I could point to a number of things about how the Alliance has lost and lost and lost and lost over the years. And in BlizzCon, not in the game, but at BlizzCon, they tell you, oh yeah, the Horde did lose those war fronts. Because in game, we don't see any of that.
And that, I think, is a failing there. I do think that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was really hoping for with the whole war fronts thing is I wanted, regardless of which side won, I wanted to see that resolution. I wanted to see the outcome. I want to see the impact it has on that zone going forward. And it's possible, just because we're getting a whole lot of stuff happening in the Shadowlands, there's still a chance that we may see the aftermath of that stuff in a content patch that's not too far off.
Oh, yeah.
That's entirely possible, but the fact that we haven't seen it yet is disappointing.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you want to add anything else, Navix, to that, as far as like Horde favoritism, Alliance favoritism, where you're standing on it?
The Horde have an entire zone shaped like their symbol.
You can thank goblins for that one.
Yeah, but we do have a B mount, so that undermines my entire argument. We do have a B mount, so there you go.
And a hippo mount.
We keep falling back in that B mount.
And the roly-poly hippo mount.
Yeah.
But no, we're good there.
All right. Last post I want to talk about before we wrap things up here is about the whole level squish. And, oh my gosh, if ever there is a post recently that has started rage burning within my heart, guys. This may be the one. So this is from a human paladin named Nick, who's level 120 with 15,000 achievement points, by the way. He says, after 15 years of playing this game, I'm officially done with retail WoW. Squishing the level cap back to 60 is a huge slap in the face. Some people want to say the number is, quote, arbitrary, unquote. But if that was true, why change it at all? I understand not everyone is going to think or feel the same way, but this feels terrible to people like me while not adding much, if anything, to anyone else. I didn't spend all this time leveling with each expansion to have it all reset. If you guys at Blizzard want to reset things, make WoW 2 with a new modern engine. It's not fair to the people who have stuck with the game to forcefully remove our progress. Again, even if that seems, quote, arbitrary to some. Nick, as a deputized guardian of the forums, I have to say, why are you so upset about a number? a number that does not even... I don't get it. Like, I almost wish that there were no character levels in World of Warcraft anymore. I kind of wish they were just gone. Because honestly, at the end of the day, here's the thing. If you are so upset about a number being reset back to the beginning, then why haven't you quit two or three times after each item level squish, where we've gone from doing hundreds of thousands of points of damage back to 6K?
Yep. Ooh. Yep, exactly.
Where were you then? Where was this post then? For all I know, maybe you did post. But your argument is so invalid when you take the item level squishing that has happened, which, mind you, had a far more impact on character progress and progression than any what I do think is an arbitrary number next to your character portrait had an impact on. And that's my weak attempt at rage, but it's still there.
Woo, so we better call a medic for that burn.
Mm.
That was brutal. But
how do you guys feel? And now, obviously, I think earlier, Navix, you said that you're good with this level squish, right?
I am good with this level squish. And can I have your stuff, Nick, if this is where you're drawing the line? Like, can you just mail that to me in game? Can you just send it? Yeah, but for real, the level squish is great. You know, I'm good with the level squish. I don't tie my I'm not wrapping up my level 120 into a sense of self-worth of World of Warcraft. I'm not like, oh, this is, you know, I'm 120, this is who I am, and now I'm level 60, and now I am nothing and I have to quit playing the game. It really is arbitrary, like he said, quote unquote. It doesn't really matter. The numbers, listen, they, like you said, with the damage thing, the numbers were just getting too high. The math was, it was getting to the point where it was honest. I believe back in the day, it was Greg Street who made that, who said that the numbers were just getting too high and that it was going to eventually cause negative impacts on the game if we just kept going down that road. So they squished that back and now we're doing it again. But this time we're, if anything, I think it's just, again, making the game more welcoming to all these new people and our friends that we just haven't quite met yet. They're going to be able to join the game and, you know, come along with us there. And it'll be nice to have, you know, Classic is 1-60 and now Retail is 1-60. Yay. We're done.
I've got a whole other argument I need to toss in. This guy who's at level 120, Nick, you're feeling really proud of that level 120, are you? Well, buddy, got a little news for you. There are people who are paying $59.99 over the past week that just instantly got a level 120 character with 50 levels of Azerite power in their Heart of Azeroth. How do you feel about that, Nick?
Boom.
Does that sting? Does that kind of burn a little?
I mean, yeah, for real. I mean, that's with a boost, or are we just talking about?
The character boost with pre-ordering Shadowlands, if you get the $59.99 one, Pat Crane said you get a level 120 character with Heart of Azeroth at level 50, and it's like we've had this complaint and argument before. Some people are like, "Oh, character boosts, level boosts are bad and stuff like that." It makes us who did it the hard way or the original way feel like it wasn't worth anything like that.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, but if you put that much, if you put that much value and worth that you feel that what you put into it means nothing, you need to grow up.
Yeah, but also, I mean, just don't pay any attention to the Classic AV, because right now, like I skipped Warlords like altogether. Like I brought my level 90 tune in there and just skipped it. Completely skipped it just by doing Battlegrounds, and it's like the level doesn't matter anymore. It's about spending time with your friends. It's about making new memories with your friends with the new raid and the new content with Shadowlands coming out. I can see that our level, I think our level squish is going to be one of the first things that comes. So I think we're going to see that first before anything
it'll
else.
It'll be before Shadowlands launches. Exactly. Yeah, like the pre-patch.
Exactly. So we can get used to everything. And from there, you know, it'll just be off to the races with, I have a couple people I have in mind that have stopped playing because of that level gap that will probably more than likely come back to play the game. And I'm looking forward to spending time with them when that happens. But yeah.
Berserker, do you feel that the journey is not about the destination, but the friends you meet along the way?
Dude, the journey is about the journey. It is not about the end. And I, human to human, to whoever this individual is, if you are that tied to this number, then my friend, you need to seek some kind of help for yourself, because there is nothing that I can say or anyone else can say that is going to segregate you from this idea that somehow this number is meaningful and its change is somehow detrimental to the experience that you have had thus far. Because last I checked, it's not really an arbitrary number in this case, because the level change is coinciding with a rewards change, or the way in which you level, you will be getting something as you go to each level. So it's not just some number. They're also changing the entire experience itself. So there is something to be said for that also.
So that leveling up feels more of a big deal. I mean, leveling up, going from 112 to 113 meant nothing to me in Battle
for Going Azeroth. From 100 to 120 doesn't really mean anything at this point, because you get your last, you get your last talent point at 100. You know, it's like there's nothing after that. And it's.
We're trying to have a more meaningful leveling experience. And last I checked, you will go down to level 50, but none of your achievements will change. None of the things that you've gotten your transmog will change. None of the things that you've earned over all this time will change. None of your memories will change. And it's this, I don't know, it's this marriage to this idea that nothing should ever, you know, change. It should all be static forever. And that's just not the way that it works. And, you know, is it going to be a little bit weird? Yeah, it's going to be a little bit weird. But listen, they're making the process meaningful, and that's cool. This is a, again, this is a 15-year-old game. They have to change things up, or else it will die. It will die.
I mean, honestly, he should be spending his time posting and trying to argue a point about something more important, like, how do we sort icons when you make a macro or equipment set? Like, for real, have you not sat there and scrolled for hours to find the one freaking icon that fits perfectly with the macro or the equipment set you're using? I'm just, you know.
It's player choice. Well, I
mean, hey, they're overhauling the auction house UI. The macro UI can be overhauled next. Who knows?
I don't know that there's a lot of legitimacy in complaining about a level squish when it's going to make things easier, number one, more meaningful, number two. And if you want to do it the old school way, go play Classic.
And there you go. Enjoy that level 60 cap in Classic, too.
Yeah, you can enjoy that grind all the way through Stranglethorn Vale, where you spend the better part of your 30s trying to get through that zone. Good fucking luck.
And I think on that note, gentlemen, we're going to call it an episode. Thank you both for, on relatively short notice, I might add, agreeing to come on this week. I really appreciate it, and especially just relatively fresh off of BlizzCon 2019, the Shadowlands and the hype, all that stuff. I couldn't think of a couple better gentlemen to have on here, so thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having us on.
Well, Mr. Black, keeper of the ancient podcast scrolls, and still my favorite 17th letter of any alphabet, thank you for having us on. It is always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, you guys do a little podcast of your own, Berserker, if you want to tell my listeners here about that and where they can find you guys on the internets, please feel free.
Yes, sir. You can find Navox and I at our home on Unshackled Fury. We are a podcast that goes every other week, and we talk about all things World of Warcraft, you know, a little extra slice of life every now and again in between. You can find us on our homepage at SoundCloud, but we're all over, you know, iTunes and Apple Podcasts, I guess it is now, and Stitcher and all the usual places. You can find our show on Twitter at Unshackled_Fury. You can find me at Berserker Rage, and you can find Navox at NAV_OX.
Awesome. Navox, thank you again for being a part of this. I really appreciate it. You guys are a couple of my favorite guest co-hosts to have on here, and I really... I am slightly ashamed that I didn't have you guys here on a semi-regular basis sooner.
Well, we're free anytime.
Yeah, we're free anytime. I mean, we're, you know.
Yeah, and the pay is pretty good, too.
Exactly.
I don't have to worry about paying.
We're getting paid in horde tiers.
It's true.
We get paid in rage. It's all good.
You can follow the Rolling Restart on Twitter at RestartCast, and you can follow me on Twitter at BrianPodcaster, not at RoWow anymore, because I decided to change things up a little bit. You can also check out the other shows I do, Hearth Casual if you're into Hearthstone, Realm Maintenance if you are looking for podcasts that cover all Blizzard games, including World of Warcraft, and if you want to show your appreciation for what I do on this show or those shows, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast and you can pledge $1 a month or whatever you want to there, word of mouth, and just letting people know about the show and how much you like it. That's always appreciated, as always. You don't need to spend a dime of your money. I will continue putting out content like this until they shut the servers down. Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. I'm guessing I will not speak to you guys on this show until next year, so do have a wonderful Winter Vale, and I can't wait to see what the World of Warcraft brings us in 2020.
Likewise, sir. You too.
All right. Well, until next time, folks, I've been Ro. He's been Berserker. He's been Navox. And we now return you to your regularly scheduled adventures in Azeroth. Goodbye, everybody.
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup brought to you by the Realm Maintenance Podcast. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every show I'm aware of that covered a Blizzard franchise and produced an episode between November 4th and 10th of 2019. Your general Blizzard podcasts are Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Group Quest, The Incense, and Scrubs vs. the World. For World of Warcraft, we have All Things Azeroth, the AIE Podcast, Azeroth Roundtable, Convert to Raid, Control at Wild, Do Not Relent, Dungeon Fables for Azeroth, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, Half a Report, Lions Pride Tavern Lore, Watch Merely, Setback, Morally Gray, Starting Zone, Stories Around Azeroth, Whispers of War, and Wild Challenges. While classic podcasts include Death Talk, Stay Classic, Taverncast Adventures, Wild Nilla, and You Think You Do But You Don't. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 60 Iron Dust, Angry Chicken, Arena Sensei, Blizzard Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Kazee, Doctor 3, Hearth Casual, Hero Power Cast, Into the Wild, Legend of the Innkeeper, Off Curve, Omnistone, Squelch, Tier 5, Velms Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Cool Story Bro, New Meta, Shattered Soulstone, and Westmarked Workshop cover Diablo, The Pylon Took Care of StarCraft, Into the Nexus covered Heroes of the Storm, general Overwatch podcasts include Heroes Never Die, Low Team Damage, and Omnic Weekly. And finally, for Overwatch Esports, we have Blackwatch Report, Casual Owl Fans, Mayhem Maniacs, On the Flank, Overwatch League Recap, Flat Chat, Push a Point, Ready Set Pwn, and Tactical Crouch. In catch a weekly podcast roundup at the end of this show and during the Realm Maintenance podcast. For links to all of these shows and more great Blizzard podcasts and content, go to realm-maintenance.com.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.